Welcome to Midnight Whispers, everybody. I'm Charlie, and that is Jujube. I bought coffee today.
Tell us about it.
Let's take a quick 15 minutes and clap. Guess not. I just bought Folgers.
Classic roast.
Original. The one that's in the commercial. Everyone knows it. We don't need to talk about it.
I think it tastes good.
Tastes like coffee.
Way better than that last disgusting ass coffee you brought.
Yeah, no, that's my claim. I actually am proud of that coffee.
You so shouldn't be.
It's anyway. Everything in one. What else would you possibly need? It's everything there. The creamer, the sugar, the coffee.
The pancakes.
Question mark. It. You know what? Thank you for saying that, because you never responded before when I said it would taste like pancakes.
And well, it doesn't, but I figured I'd give it to you for once.
Well, one of the ones that you brought tasted like pancakes. That's where that thing started. That actually, or was it? No,
it was yours.
Yeah, it was my gross one.
How was your week?
You know, Charlie does what Charlie does. Sits around, cries in the shower. Faxes. The public library to see if they have books that I want to borrow. They never fax back. I don't know why. I'm good or whatever.
Okay.
How about you?
I'm good.
Whenever you fax a public library, do you get your books?
Yeah, they always fax me back.
What the heck?
I mean, maybe you have the wrong number. Maybe you have just like one number wrong. That happens
but
a lot.
But it always goes through.
Oh, that's rough.
Who am I sending
the
these
facts? The public library is ghosting you.
Dude, that is the ultimate insult. Like, if the public library ghosts you.
Yeah.
You might. I don't know. It's a bad thing to have happen.
Yep.
Because then how else are you going to learn? The internet doesn't exist.
Oh boy.
It's 1991.
No.
Yes it is.
No. So this week I'm going to cover people in attics and walls.
It's my favorite Michael Jackson song.
In homes.
People live in homes, you know.
Not these people.
These respective homes?
Yeah, these respective people do not belong in these respective homes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what inherently drew you to this story?
Murders. So I was really not feeling podcasting this week at all. Like, I was really, it wasn't there for me. So I wanted to do something that I'm passionate about. And that's murder. So
I feel like things that you have just said, you might want to find a new way to say them.
No, I stand by what I said. I'm not passionate about murdering people. I'm passionate about the topic. I love listening to podcasts about murderers and such. And so I wanted to do something that I like a lot. So
I really want to make this expressly clear. You've always, you're allowed to do things that you like.
Oh, yeah, I know.
So I want to know that you know that you are more than welcome to do topics that you like.
I know. I have done topics that I like, but I've been trying to stick away from murders because I do know that they're overdone. So I've been trying to not do them as much.
Yeah, they're so 2000 and late.
And you were trying to be really just
2008.
Yeah, because that's not late at all.
No, that's what year it is.
Uh-huh.
When my FM radio woke me up this morning, they were playing the old episode of Jay Leno last night. And then DJ Mike Pickle.
I have a really good doctor I could give to you.
January 12th.
Do you want me to give you my doctor? He's really good. You'd like him.
What's his name?
I don't want to plug my doctor on the
podcast.
You could have
made a fake name.
Oh.
Did that thought not occur?
Dr. Octopus is what they call him.
I don't want a gosh dang Spider-Man villain taking care of me.
Anyway, so I gave you a creepypasta to read because I started reading it and I didn't want to freak myself out. So I let you read it and I want you to give us just the TLDR of what the creepypasta was.
It wasn't really anything.
Oh,
like you really could have read it and you would have been fine.
Well, so I read it, like I skimmed it a little bit. This is what I have for it. I didn't really read it, but it basically, a kid goes to babysit at someone's home and the kid he's babysitting is like, there's a man in the attic. Creepy things happen and that's it.
Not really. I'm pretty sure I did read through it. I read through it and right before we turned on the camera.
Yeah.
And basically, the kid, it just like he goes in the attic and then a trunk closes and then the door closes. But here's the twist. The door's been locked the whole time.
No fucking way.
But that's it. There was no man in the, well, I mean, you don't meet the
man in the attic. Man. In
I guess the kid did. Kid could have slept it, dreamt it.
Yeah. Doesn't it end with the parent being like, oh, I guess you had a bad dream?
No, yeah.
Yeah. Well, so basically, I'm talking about, like, it started out, my story, or, like, my topic this week started out as, like, people in the attic. Because, like, there's a bunch of creepypastas about, like, people living in the attic, murderers living in attics. Or, you know, just, like, creepy people in your home. Like, there's the hand lick creepypasta where there's, like, someone under the bed and she thinks it's a dog. You know that one?
Yeah, I'm familiar with that one.
That's the one where it's, like, someone in your home. There's a bunch of just, like, creepy things where there's, like, people just chilling in houses that don't belong to them. And that's kind of where it started, because I have a legitimate fear, like a real fear of people/clowns in my attic.
Wait, hold on a second. You can't just say people/clowns like they're the same thing.
They are.
No, because people are just like you and me. Clowns are a paranormal entity.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
Clowns are people in makeup. But no, like, that's like an actual fear that I do legitimately have, is like, because at my parents' house, there were two entrances to the attic, one in the garage and one in my mom's closet.
I think, okay, both terrible places to put an attic.
Well, yeah, and that's why it freaked me out so much, because we would leave our attic or our garage open and there wasn't like a latch or a key or anything to get up into the attic part. It literally just something you pull down, and I was like, what if someone just decided to crawl up in there?
You need to stop listening to those podcasts. I really think they're making your mind.
So, no, this is how it is. So, I'm like, they could crawl up in there and we could lock up the doors and think we're safe. And then they can come down through my mom's closet and murder us all. Or what? Though it's not even the murdering part that freaks me out the most about that. It's them, like, watching me sleep. That freaks me out more than, like, murder me all you want, but just don't watch me. Don't look at me.
Don't look at me watching my VHS copy of Dirty Dancing for the 30th time.
Yeah, like, I don't need anyone knowing. I don't need anyone knowing how many times I've listened to the Hamilton soundtrack.
And I'm sorry.
Just murder me instead.
I'm sorry I put you on blast talking about, because I know how much you watch Dirty Dancing.
On VHS specifically.
Well, that's, you know, implied. I mentioned it earlier, I feel like.
Perhaps.
Okay.
But yeah, so that's kind of where it started out, because I have a legitimate fear.
Okay. So naturally you want to
cover it. I want everyone to know that I'm not crazy.
Time of night that might not be ideal.
Well, there's no attics here. Oh, also, I feel like Nino's probably okay with me saying this. He has insomnia, so he takes Ambien at night. And last night we were laying in bed and he starts talking to me. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. Wait, we're alone, right? And I'm like, you can't fucking say this to me at 1 a.m.
Dude, what a good prank. And you were already not having it.
He literally, and he was like, and it's not like he was just out of nowhere. Like, he stopped. He like looked around for a second. He's like, wait, we're alone, right? And I'm like, I can't fucking do this. I'm like, you're going to have to leave. Like, you're going to straight up have to leave because I can't deal.
Because this is your apartment and that's your fridge and you pay the rent.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. That's how that works.
But yeah, so I just figured that was sort of relevant. We were alone, hopefully. I perceived us as alone. Anyway, so yeah, so that creepypasta is like one of many that like portrays, you know, people in homes. As they do.
Yeah, people live in homes.
Yeah.
Ever heard of them?
I used to take them. It's fine.
Damn it. Yeah. Let's jump in.
Yeah. So basically, I just wanted to prove that I'm not crazy by having this fear. So I found real instances of people in attics.
I feel like it's very, very unfair for you to try and like pawn off your irrational fear.
It's not irrational. Others. I have so many examples here. Don't look at them. I'll tell you.
I feel like, again, it's implied that you're going to tell me.
Don't look at them. It's mine.
I think, perfectly fine eyesight. I really don't think I would have been able to fully, like, I would not have gotten one word.
Okay, good. So the first attic story we're going to talk about is a man named Theodore Edward Conies. He's dubbed the Denver Spider-Man.
All right. I'm listening. For a good reason?
No.
Damn it.
So he was a drifter in Denver in 1941.
Okay. Damn those drifters.
Yeah, 1941. And so at the ripe old age of 59, he breaks into the home of an acquaintance of his named Philip Peters while Peters is away. And he basically at first just breaks in to steal some money and some food. And that's it, because he broke in because he asked Peters beforehand. He's like, hey, can I just stay with you for a little bit? And Peters was like, no. So then he waited till Peters was away and Coney broke into his home just to steal some shit.
That's not nice.
No, it's not. But while he's there stealing shit, he comes across this tiny little door that leads to the attic. It's very narrow, very small. It's mainly just meant for, you know, sticking some stuff up there, basically. Not meant for people whatsoever. But he's like, you know what that narrow passageway looks like? Home.
That was a really good way to do that. That was very clever. I feel like that audibly needed to have acknowledgement, because that was pretty good.
Thank you.
So one thing that I think is very important. Mm-hmm. I'm going to guess that you never saw this movie because of your fear.
Okay.
The hit 2009 family comedy Aliens in the Attic, written by Adam F. Goldberg and someone else.
No.
You never saw it?
No.
I mean, some would say it's Ashley Tisdale's best role to date.
Oh, boy. That's saying a lot. She shined at the Sharpay.
She did shine. But you know what else she shined as? Her character's name in Aliens in the Attic.
I'm sure. Maybe that can be our next, you know, movie night. Aliens in the Attic with Ashley Tisdale.
I don't think it's scary or entertaining enough.
Damn. Okay.
But I think for a kid in 2009.
Dope.
Hey, look at those aliens, funny aliens. They're not real, because animation in 2009 was, I don't think, ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but hey, Ashley Tisdale is here. Guess what she did? La, 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 on the TV, you know?
Yeah.
That's how a kid mind.
Sure.
Works.
Yeah, so Coney goes up into that little narrow passageway and is like, wow, home sweet home. Never felt that before. And he lives there for about 5 weeks without Peter's knowing. And then one day he thinks Peter's is gone, so he gets out and starts going through the refrigerator. And this is when Peter's finds him there at his refrigerator.
Prank. You thought I left.
So
I didn't.
Yeah.
You're
so,
still playing your DS under the covers. I caught you.
So Coney is like, oh, fuck, I'm caught. Hits him in the head. There's a little bit of a scuffle. Peters tries to fight back. But basically, Coney just bludgeons him to death.
Okay. And then he does his classic web slinger.
Yeah.
And he
and he goes back up into the attic.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So, yeah. So then after like a few more weeks of him just chilling there in the house, Peter's wife comes back from unrelated issues in the hospital. She was in the hospital before. She was in the hospital after he died for, I think she was having like a hip replacement surgery. There was complications. So she was in the hospital for like a month while all this was happening. So she didn't know that. She just thought her husband, like, there was a break-in, someone killed her husband and left. So she moves back into the home. And after a few weeks, she's like, wow, my house is haunted. And then her cleaning lady quits in a rage because she's like, I'm sorry, your house is haunted. I can't clean for you anymore. So then by that point, she's like, my husband's gone. My cleaning lady's gone. I'm going to move in with my son, who was in another state. So she moves out. And then for 9 more months, Coney stays in that house without anyone knowing. The neighbors would occasionally like see lights flickering on and off, but they just thought it was like vandals, you know, teenagers playing pranks. They'd occasionally see some weird
stuff.
Yeah,
because there's nothing better than a bunch of 1940s teens that go into a house and start turning lights on.
It's so funny. What a prank.
Oh boy. Hey, Johnny, you gotta we got this house we gotta hit up over tonight. Guess what we're gonna do? We're gonna turn the lights on and off. We're gonna run that electricity bill through the roof.
Through the roof. Yeah. So that's what the neighbors thought. But and occasionally the cops would come by and they would do like checkups on it in these 9 months, and they would just never find anything until one check in.
Damn kids.
Until one check in, they finally they come in to do like their check in of the house because it is, you know, vacant, and they get a report sometimes. So they go in and they hear like some rustling upstairs and they're like, oh, fuck. So.
I know I was doing the voice earlier, but that really caught me off guard. That's funny. That's really good. Also, I feel like it's funny. So like you always in a lot of comedies, and if there happens to be like a cop or something, it's like, hey, this deadbeat's got to go check on that vacant house. I wonder if that was like the same thing back then. It's like, yeah. All right, let's send the rookie mm-hmm. to go check on this house. We got all those dumb kids turning the
lights
on
and
off.
Yeah.
And then that would actually probably be, I feel like that police officer would then just tell that story as like, these kids keep turning the lights on and off. That's what I thought. And then guess what? I heard Ella Fitzgerald on an FM radio up in the attic, you know? Mm-hmm. And then everyone is just like, oh no. And that rookie quits the police force.
Yeah.
Just
well,
because
that's not exactly what happens.
I don't really want to know what happened. Also, can I say, I just want to make it expressly clear. I know that every dated reference I'm making is probably not time accurate. That voice was clearly a 60s thing. I stole it from Grease. Sorry, Johnny Travolta and Adele Dazeem. And then, obviously, and then Ella Fitzgerald, I don't think was a 1940s artist. I'm
no,
pretty sure she was
20s.
Oh. Oh, so that might actually work.
Yeah. So basically, they come into the house and they hear something and they're like, oh, fuck. So they run upstairs and they catch this man with his legs hanging down out of the little hole and they pull him down and they get him and they dubbed him the Denver Spider-Man because the cops are on record saying only someone with long, scrawny legs like a spider could fit in there.
Yikes. You know what's funny?
And that he was there for 9 months.
He literally got... He fell through a hole in the attic just like how Clark Griswold in Christmas Vacation fell through the ceiling. Like, what a classic comedy trope to have found yourself in.
Yeah.
Except this is actually terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because 9 months he was there. He lived in the attic 9 months. And he lived with other people in the home for a total of 2 months without anybody knowing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was... I don't know how... 1940s. So I had an interesting thought during that. Like, because you said 1941, and I don't know why, but it didn't immediately... like cross my mind, but then as soon as you said 1920s, I'm like, oh shit, I totally forgot about the Great Depression. Mm-hmm. And like this happened probably because he fell into really hard times during the Great Depression and then was not able to really recover from it.
Yeah.
Which is really unfortunate, because that honestly, I don't know, not to be like a history teacher, but that was a very hard time.
It was.
In America's history.
Mm-hmm.
Much, actually, I think maybe every single piece of American history, pretty overtly negative.
Yeah.
For a lot of awful reasons.
Mm-hmm.
We should probably change that.
Oh, yeah.
Not a joke. Legitimately. Mm-hmm. I want to make it expressly clear that I am not kidding. It's actually America's terrible.
Yeah. No, I'm 100% on your side. 100%. But yeah, so the man was arrested and he's in jail. And
he currently?
I mean, I'm sure he's dead now.
Damn.
But
also, I'm as a nerd, I'm way more upset by the fact that someone who was nicknamed the Denver Spider-Man wasn't doing cooler shit and just was doing bad shit.
Yeah, he was just squatting and murdering people.
Why couldn't he have, like...
Although I do think it's kind of funny. He was kind of just fucking around with that guy's wife. Just, like, making her think that it was haunted. Which I do think, if murder wasn't involved, is kind of hilarious. Like, just going into someone's home and just, like, doing little shit. Just, and they're like, I could have sworn I had that table 2 inches to the left. So this story is called the Villisca Axe Murders. And this happened in 1912 in Villisca, Iowa. Basically, one morning, the Moore family, which was two parents and their four kids, ages 5 to 11, and two children that were over for a sleepover, that were ages 8 and 12, were found bludgeoned to death by an axe. So a total of 8 people bludgeoned to death by an axe. And the family was really well-liked and affluent in the community. And so there was basically, when they asked the neighbors and stuff, like, who do you think could do it? Everyone was like, we have no idea, because they were so, you know, like, just well-liked in the community. And without going into too much detail, okay, this is funny. I guess I wasn't paying attention to what I was typing. And I typed the investor. Next word, gators. The investor gators.
Okay. Now I didn't know exact. It took a second. That's funny.
So the investigators.
The investigators.
Yeah. They believed that all of the victims, except for one, were murdered while they were asleep. The father received more blows and aggression than any of the others. And it did it again. It did investigators again. I guess I just kept spelling it wrong and it kept making it to investigators.
Man, those gators have so much capital.
They really do.
I don't understand it.
They just know the stock market like nobody's business.
They need to talk to, they're in crypto. It's not the stock market. They're in crypto.
Okay.
That fucking Ethereum boom that happened this week. That shit. They have so much money. Those gators' pockets are flowing with cash.
Those gators.
Those swamps ain't swamps anymore. Their pools of gold. Oh, just like gosh. One Mr. Scrooge McDuck. Uh-huh. Heard of him?
Yes. Familiar.
Yeah. Fuck. What? Oh, no, crap. I thought of something in the middle of me doing that bit to add on, and I fucking forgot.
That's all right.
It's really investigators. They need to talk to those guys from the last episode with their Kickstarter.
Those
like
the investigators, Gene Screams, and the siblings dream team.
Actually, I have to admit, the more that we jokingly create this wild scenario, the more as a creative person that I feel like it's a viable idea.
Because we can't get into this.
Oh man, but it's like
this is a 12 p.m. not a 12 a.m. conversation.
This is an I have no concept of time.
Well, that's unfortunate because I do.
I feel like you probably know this by now. I have no concept of time because of all of the different dates I've thrown out throughout our entire podcast.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know where I am.
Well, these investigators, they found cigarette butts in the attic of the Morris home, leading them to believe that the suspect was waiting in the attic until the family went to sleep to commit axe murder.
But again, why?
Why not?
Oh, I thought you had a reason.
Oh, a reason for what?
No, I thought, do they know who did it?
Oh, this is going to blow your mind. No.
Damn, I thought I was being clever. I was setting you up to, like, spike the story home. And then you just told me that, and I guess not.
Yeah.
You know what the moral of the story is?
What?
Rent an apartment. like all of these stories.
This entire episode is just a PSA. Don't own a home.
We're actually partnered with multiple
apartment complexes.
Yeah, so we're just pitching those.
We're the new investigators in some beautiful new apartment complexes. Check us out on Instagram to figure out, you know, pricing and floor plans.
Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not really dressed for the occasion. Usually I'm wearing a gator skin jacket, pants, tie, and fedora. So I'm currently not in the investor gator apparel.
I do hope you can forgive him.
Investor Gators TM. It's a company... And by law, in our contracts, we are legally required to wear gator skin outfits.
It's like the Men in Black.
It's like the Men in Black, except we always smell like the swamp.
Oh, always.
And
in fact, we're patent pending a new cologne. Investigator.
Cologne?
Cologne.
Oh, I heard clone. And I was interested.
We're not telling Did people I not about get that the yet. Memo? We're not telling people
Did
about
I not
yet.
Get the memo?
I guess you're not on the list yet.
Shit. Was I sleeping on my gator skin pillow?
You probably were.
On my gator skin couch? This is a disgusting world that I live in.
It is. It's gross. You should be ashamed, honestly. Anyway, so, yeah, they believed after, you know, investigating the entire home that the murderer was just hanging out in the attic. Probably what happened is they had just, that night, they had went to church all together, And the man probably came into the home while they were in church, set up camp in the attic, smoked a few cigarettes, waited for them to get home and go to sleep, then took the axe that belonged to the family, to the husband, the father, and murdered the entire family with it.
I have a different theory.
Okay.
So how many kids were in this home again?
It was two parents and... Six kids.
Jesus Christ. How young is the youngest kid?
Five.
That five-year-old, he was smoking cigarettes.
Oh,
he got them from his brother, okay?
Oh, geez.
The father found him.
Oh.
Sent him into a psychotic rage.
Oh.
What, did you give a year for when this happened?
1912.
Damn it. I was just about to say, he just... came home from before church. He went out on a date night with his wife. They went to go see Mike Myers' hit film. Everyone talks about it. So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And then he saw little Jojo, 5-year-old Jojo, smoking a carton of Reds.
Five-year-olds do.
I mean, I remember on the playground, it would be you'd play kickball for a box of smokes.
Uh-huh.
Or like you'd push a kid off the jungle gym and take a few of his cigarettes.
You know, just preschool things. I'm so glad you're enjoying this bit as much.
And then he's like, all right, I got an idea. This will really teach him a lesson. So he grabbed... This is so dumb. And so he grabbed the axe. He's like, this will teach him a lesson. He meant to go for the box of smokes, but uh-oh, there was a Mexican jumping bean inside. He just kept trying to hit the box of smokes, kept zooming all over the place, gets in bed with the kid, and he's like, oh, no, I need to cover this up. Axes the whole family. Then he's like, all right, how do I really cover this up? And then he was like, oh, I'm thinking of an idea. He was laying down in bed. He was like flipping the axe up and down, like for like he's doing tricks. Came down. Uh-oh.
Yeah, probably not. It was probably this guy named George Kelly. He was.
Wait, you. Okay. What? That honestly was the meanest thing anyone's ever done to me. Having a person that they know, that you know what happened, you know that there was a person who probably did it, and you said before, no, I don't think so, I don't know, and then they
Can
found
I finish
a person,
what I'm fucking saying,
but they found
Michael?
A person, and you just made me do that whole dumb bit.
Can I tell you?
You made me do the whole dumb
can
bit.
Can I tell you what happened? This guy named George Kelly was tried twice for the murder of the family. The first trial... was a hung jury, so he never got convicted. The second trial, he was acquitted. So he was never, it's still an unsolved case. No one's been tried for the murder. They thought it was this guy, but it wasn't, apparently, according to
the
trial.
Okay, so it's like the OJ case. Everyone knows he did it. But just because you technically did not get tried for it. Actually, that's a, whatever. Whatever.
Well, so also, there are some theories about who did it. There was 10 years prior to this in Germany. I didn't write this down because it was a very gruesome case that is no good to talk about.
Wait,
on
the guy
comedy
who
podcast.
Did this is a Germ is
can
from
I talk,
Germany?
Can I talk to you? Can I? No.
Can you I'm talk to me?
Can I talk to you?
Over there? In your office?
Yeah, can I see you in my office really quickly?
Oh, fuck. is this about the damp beans that I sprout on a paper towel in my desk drawer?
Oh, boy.
I understand it smells like dirt, but they taste great. That's a bit from The Office. I needed to make that expressly clear.
Okay. But so there's this theory that there are a bunch of these axe murders that are connected. The first one being 10 years prior
like
to this.
Like a club?
10 years prior to this in Germany, it is Germany's most famous unsolved case ever. It was a family, again, I don't remember exactly how many. Like I said, I didn't write it down because it is not. It is so bad, like, and gruesome and disgusting that I was like, it's not good. But it's Germany's most famous unsolved case. It was another family who was axe murdered. And basically nothing ever happened like that again. But all of the mannerisms, the cigarette butts in the attic, all of that carried over into this instance. And then there were subsequently more axe murders in the United States within the next 15 years that all had the same like characteristics, and all of the murders were within walking distance of train tracks. This one and all of the other ones in the United States were all walking distance of train tracks, and they all were axe murders, and all of them found cigarette butts in the attic.
So it sounds like this one guy, he hopped a train from Germany over to the
United States.
Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
Started doing some terrible shit.
Mm-hmm.
Another explanation would just be copycats. A third explanation would be it's some sort of club, and there's, like, defined membership rules.
Like cigarettes?
Yeah, you gotta be smoking cigarettes. It's got like it. How it's like how Leslie Knope is in the Knopes are a Red Vine family.
Exactly like that.
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
Uh-huh. So now I think might be a good time to take a little break and hear from our sponsor, Anchor.
Do you?
Yeah.
All right,
let's jump right back in.
Should we?
Yeah.
All right.
So then this is, I saved my favorite story for last.
That's, again, a worrying sentence. You can't say, I feel like this is a helpful tip, possibly. But maybe if you are talking about some terrible things, and then you say, this one's my favorite, I don't think those two should happen together.
Well, don't you have like a favorite war or like a favorite?
What am I, 80? I don't have a favorite war.
You don't?
You want to know?
Everyone has a favorite war.
Do you want to know what my favorite war is?
What?
The one Rocky was in when he beat off Dolph Lundgren. Beat off? No, that's the wrong word. When he beat when he beat up Dolph Lundgren. Okay, that's my favorite war. All right. You want to know what my favorite war is? I don't know.
Anyway, I don't mean as like I admire or I like it. I just mean that this is a story that I find the most entertaining and engaging.
Okay, those are the words to use. Favorite.
It's my favorite.
No, favorite means a different thing.
Okay, whatever. Well, this story is about a man named Daniel LaPlante. LaPlante? Daniel, don't look at it.
I have to tell you, I 100% cannot read what is on that screen.
Good. I wish you had just left it. I 100% can't read.
What up? I'm Jarrett. I'm 19, and I never fucking learned how to read.
Okay, so.
I can't read.
Daniel LaPlante. He was a very troubled kid who grew up in a not-so-great home, being abused in many different ways. And then, so, as a manifestation of that abuse, around the age of 16 in the year of 1986, he began breaking into homes and stealing things and kind of doing what we talked about earlier with the Spider-Man. His favorite thing to do at first was moving stuff around just a little bit in people's homes. He loved just going in and moving it around just a little bit.
So he was the Winston Bishop of pranks in this area.
Except worse, because he stole things too, like guns.
Wait. What year is this?
1986.
Oh, I guess gun safety wasn't a thing.
No. So yeah, he loved going into homes and stealing things and then just fucking with them a little bit. Like moving stuff around. So it was like, I thought I left that remote on that nightstand, but it's actually on that one.
There's like a really, I cannot remember what show it's from, but there's this like, I know it's not New Girl because my immediate thought is like, oh, that's a Winston Bishop prank, but there legitimately is a joke where one person moves everything in this one person's office.
I know what you're talking about and I can't think of it. It's not
I'm
New Girl.
So mad. What is it?
I don't know.
Because I legitimately can see.
I was thinking about the whole time. I can't think of it, but I know that it exists and it's not New Girl.
Because I can see it. I can hear it in my mind where it's like everything's moved.
Just a little
like
bit over.
3 inches. And then the person.
Someone stubs their toe, right?
It's like, it. I don't know if someone stubs their toe, but it's like the hard ass who was pranked, like the boss, he's sitting back and he's like, you moved everything in my office by like 3 inches. And the guy like thinks he's getting reprimanded. And he goes, that's hilarious. And then he starts hysterically laughing.
Yeah. I don't know what it's from.
What the hell?
I don't know, but I need to get back into the story.
I watch the same 5 shows. Why can't I think of it?
I need to get back into the story.
I felt like this was important.
You need to simmer on it.
You were engaging this story.
No, I was.
How much more of this do we got?
Why?
Because I don't. Is it going to get worse?
Yes.
I don't want that. And again, the fact that you started this story and like what I have learned. Well, that's kind of funny. The moving everything around in the house just a little bit is. It is something that actually, like, I feel like happens all the time of like, oh shit, that's supposed to be there.
Yeah.
But then it's over here. But my dumb ass just forgot.
Yeah. Well, this person is actually doing it just to fuck with him a little bit. So, in his travels, he finds the name, number, and address of this family. It's Brian Andrews is the father, and he has 2 daughters, Annie, who is 15, and Jessica, who is 8. And Daniel LaPlante, he's 16 at the time, and he begins fixating on 15-year-old Annie. So he calls her, and he's like, hey, Annie, you don't know me, but one of your friends gave me your number. I go to like whatever the neighboring school was. He's like, I go to that school and, you know, they said that they think we'd be really cool together. So I just want to get to know you a little bit. So they end up talking on the phone like every day for a really long time. And he tells her, he's like, I really like you and we should go to the fair this weekend. And while they're talking on the phone, he's like, I'm super athletic and I'm really attractive. I'm like 6'1" and I'm hot is basically what he was telling her. He was like catfishing her, just telling her that he's hot and athletic. So when they meet up, he comes to her house to pick her up for their fair date that evening. And she opens the door and is immediately like, ooh, you're not what you said you look like. He's short. He has a lot of acne, not athletic. Really looking at all, but she goes anyway just because, you know, it was the polite thing to do. So they go to the fair and she just gets super freaked out because the whole time they're there, he is just saying creepy things. Number one, she was first creeped out because he didn't look at all like what he was saying. Number two, he just keeps saying weird, creepy things and then fixating on and asking her questions about her recently deceased mother who passed away from cancer, asking her things like if it was painful, what she went through during, you know, treatment and death and stuff like that.
Oh, I thought like he asked like, what did you go through like. Because that must be like a hard experience. Like.
No, he's asking what the mother went through while she was dying.
I don't like it.
Yeah, so Annie's like, I gotta go home. So she goes home and is like, you know, I'm really not feeling it. I'm sorry, but you go to a different school anyway. It's okay. You know, like, thanks for hanging out with me, but kind of just breaking it off because she got bad vibes, obviously. So he gets upset that she doesn't like him. So that night he breaks in and weird things start happening around the home. To the daughter specifically. He starts off by I'm going to tell it to you from the perspective of Annie and Jessica. They are asleep one night in their room that they share, and all of a sudden they hear knocking inside the walls and whispering, and basically this leads them to believe that their mother is haunting them, saying things like, I miss you and I love you, in the walls in the room while they're sleeping. And sometimes when they come home from school, their dad is still at work, so they're alone. When they first get home from school, one time they heard stuff down in the basement knocking around, so she goes down to investigate. And on the wall, in what seems like blood, there is some words. I don't want to say what those words are, but there's words in red stuff. And sometimes in the middle of the night when they wake up, they can see the silhouette of what appears to be a woman, because it's a dress. And yeah, so it gets increasingly worse as their underwear and clothes start going missing. And it seems like the spirit of their mother is getting angry. Stuff knocking around, stuff breaking, and the father is getting mad at the girls because he's never experienced this. It's only when the father is gone. So he's like, why are you throwing away your clothes? Why are you breaking things? What is this stuff on the walls? And so there's one day they get home from school and there's just stuff broken everywhere and they're screaming and pounding. So they run and go to their neighbor's house. Their neighbor calls the father and 911. So the cops come, the father comes home, and he's talking to the girls. He's like, I know you're grieving because your mother recently died, but you can't make this stuff up. Like, this isn't healthy. I don't know how to help you, but it's not, this isn't healthy. The cops go in, they search the house, they find nothing. It just kind of, at this point, seems like the girls are begging for attention. So then another day they come home from school and the same thing kind of happens. It's just really aggressive stuff that's freaking them out. So they run to the neighbor. Same thing happens. She calls the father and the cops. So the dad just kind of rushes home and he's like, I can't stand this. And he runs in the home and he hears breaking stuff in his bedroom. And this is the first time that he's ever experienced this, because from to this point, it's just been the girl's word. He's never actually experienced anything. It's just from what the girls are saying. So he finally sees something. As he opens the door to his bedroom, he sees a teenager in his deceased wife's wedding dress holding a knife.
Okay. So I did 100%. Oh no. I did see, like, I kind of knew he was wearing her clothes. But this is, like, fucked up.
Yes, it gets worse. So then the dad is like, what the fuck? And basically, he kind of just keeps the kid there so he can't run away this time. And the cops get there and basically arrest him. And this time the cops do a little bit of a better search. and they find, hidden behind a china cabinet, a hole in the wall. These walls are very spacious, apparently, because this kid was living, he had tunnels, basically, in the walls, going to the rooms, the daughter's rooms, down to the basement, and up in the attic. In the walls, the cops found the girl's underwear with a white substance on them. And just lots of other creepy little things. And so they arrest him. And obviously they're scarred for the rest of their life. But that's not where this ends.
God, okay. I hate this so much.
I know.
Everything that you say, pretty much every second that you're telling the story, the more I revisit the beginning. Favorite, not the best word.
But it's so creepy. I like it because it's engaging and entertaining.
No. If this was a YouTube video, I would have clicked out right after the fair. Maybe in the middle of what was going on at the county fair. You know what you're supposed to do at the county fair? Ride a ride that's going to break down and eat cotton candy until you feel sick because you had too much sugar. And
not then them.
So I don't think them is the right word. I think it's
he.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he goes to juvie for about a year. And pretty much the first thing he does when he gets out is he goes back to burglary. First thing he does is he steals some guns, and then he goes to a home of a mother and her two young daughters and murders them. He shoots the mother and drowns the children.
Drowns?
Because they're very small children. Shoots the mother, drowns the children. And then as he leaves that scene, he tries to kidnap another girl. Thankfully, she is able to get away and she is not kidnapped. And then they basically find him in a dumpster, arrest him, and he went to prison. And they lived not so happily ever after.
Wait, they found him in a dumpster?
Yeah, he was just chilling in a dumpster.
What was he doing, playing jacks with a rat?
Probably.
Okay. This is awful.
I know.
I'm... Now I don't want to do the podcast. Can we... I'm already going to say it. Can we skip next week?
No.
Not your call.
It is.
I have to drive here. I'll just not drive.
That's okay. I'll do it by myself.
No, I can't leave you alone. You do this, these. You do these.
Well, I do can't ever. Do you want to end on a lighter note? I have one more little thing to say. It's not a story.
I don't want anything else. I want to. That was too. It's too loud. That was a little too much. But I did not like that at all.
I don't blame
because,
you.
Because. All right, and also, how dare you? You know the 80s are my favorite decade.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you?
Look, I'm just being a realist. Okay, so as I was researching this topic, I saw that apparently YouTubers love saying that there's people living in their attics.
Sorry, I'm having a heart attack. Continue. Just keep going.
No.
Just keep going.
No.
Come on. Just keep going.
No.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, so YouTubers.
Oh, now you keep going. Michael's, you know.
Yeah.
Actually, I can't. That. No. I'm like, no. Because you. No. Uh-uh. Why? I'm no. You know, no. Absolutely not. That's terrible. I hate that.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
He's still in prison. He's still there. He can't do it to anybody else. Don't worry.
Wow, wait. That's like, so that's 20, so like 35 years?
Yeah.
No, that's not right. That's not math.
I don't know.
That's like,
but
I don't know.
I think we should get off the topic and talk about these YouTubers.
How dare you?
Because the YouTubers that I found, I literally searched people in my attic.
Yeah, so okay. So this is like, I could talk a lot about this.
That's why I brought it up.
So like, you know, there's, everyone knows YouTubers are dumb.
Yes.
And stupid.
Yes.
And so like a lot of the young vlog tubers, yeah. And they like, so I could probably list you a couple of channels that have done this. So the Dobre twins 100% have done this. I know there's like family YouTubers that have done this, like Rebecca Zamolo. She's 100% done this. And I know this because Drew Gooden, who is an amazing, amazing YouTuber, hilarious, he's great, Vines, he's the one that did Road Work Ahead. Uh-huh. And like he's talked about it, and so has his friend Danny Gonzalez. They're both amazing creators. There is this huge, like, I don't know what it is. So just to be completely, completely honest, everything that you see in like vlogs that YouTubers do, it's all extremely fabricated. And it's like they make these weird storylines that I guess that their audience doesn't care enough about to like say, hey, this is dumb.
Yeah.
And so they make dumb garbage. And yeah, this is part of that. And it's like, who cares? Mm-hmm. There's this like one specific, like they made this character and they were, it was like in multiple YouTube vlogs, like spanning a bunch of different YouTube channels and YouTube creators, and like they all happened to make this really weird, nonsensical, convoluted character that makes no sense because apparently they were getting enough views to make this content. It's dumb. I'm sorry. After the last one, I'm not having a good time.
Well, so when I was researching this, it was like I literally searched because I was having a hard time finding that there was a specific story I wanted to talk about, and I could not for the life of me search the right thing to bring it up because all I had was like axe murderer in attic in Louisiana, and I thought that would be specific enough, but it wasn't. So there was this one specific story I wanted, and at this point I was like, okay, I'm too specific. Maybe I got like something wrong. So then I just searched person in my attic, and YouTube was like, here's all of these YouTubers who think that there's people living in their attics. And it was like, I was like scrolling. There's yeah, too many people who think that there, or
no.
Say that there's people living there in their attics.
There you go. That's the correct.
I clicked into one just because I was like, you know what? Let's see. And there was no proof. She was just screaming at the camera, like, there's a person living in my attic. And then she's like, I called maintenance. And they're like, what do you want us to do about it? And she's like, get the person out of my attic. And I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
What? I can't, like, the funniest part about that is, like, that's such a YouTuber, like, script, you know? Because it's like, I called maintenance. I said, hey, there's a person in my attic. What do you want me to do about it? Get the person out of my attic. Which I feel like is enough of a reasonable request.
Yeah.
And no maintenance worker anywhere would have just, they would have just been like, okay, have you tried calling the police?
Yeah.
They wouldn't be like dismissive and like, what do you expect me to do about this?
Yeah.
I make actually probably 22 an hour. Maintenance workers get a very high amount of pay because they're
necessary.
They're essential workers, and also it's technically a trade.
Yeah.
So it's like they get a lot of, that was dumb. Unnecessary tangent,
but
it's important to know because
we respect,
they truly are
our
exactly,
maintenance workers.
Exactly.
If they'd ever come to my apartment and fix our refrigerator,
unlike some YouTubers. All right. Well, you didn't. Actually, that's probably a not good thing to have publicized out there. Just the tone.
I'm not saying that it's maintenance workers. I'm saying that this apartment complex has problems.
No, okay. Again, you can't.
Why?
Oh, my God.
I can't public shame this apartment complex.
You shouldn't, because then they have the ability to...
I don't live here. What are they going to do?
I thought you said this is your apartment. Who is the part? What attic are we in?
There is someone living in this apartment.
And they're doing me. A podcast it's on me. My couch. That's a good... That's actually kind
of
funny.
So I actually did this because I am someone living in a respective home that I should not be.
So you're just projecting?
Yeah, I wanted everyone else to know that it's a real fear because I'm living
again, it. Again, it's the same situation with you using the word favorite. You can't be like, the reason why I chose all of these terrible stories is because I am currently one faction of this story.
I'm just the nonviolent kind. I'm the help. I'm like, if you took those people, make them not psychotic and clean freaks.
That's just a live-in maid. You're just describing a live-in maid.
Well, I should be paid more, for sure.
Don't that's my take that title. Up with me. That's something you have to take up with your husband.
Okay, so, yeah, YouTubers are dramatic and they lie. PSA, don't own a house. Always have an apartment. And don't murder people.
Okay, don't do that TikTok fucking face. No. You know what? I don't know what happened, but I think the video got corrupted.
No, it didn't. I'll edit this episode, actually. You can just leave the SD card here. I'll edit it.
No, I don't think I could do that. I frankly don't think I can. I don't think... Don't you dare look at me like that. What the fuck is happening? You know what? When I said earlier that I was having a heart, I think I may have died. And I am currently in hell.
All right. So let's just go ahead and go then. Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks to Anchor. Thanks to Aethro Media. Follow us on Instagram @ Midnight Whispers Podcast.
Honestly, or don't.
And check the video version out on YouTube. Thanks so much for listening. Or we don't. Appreciate you guys. Bye.